Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. My father-in-law loved this plaque that he had, and I don't know if you've seen this, if you've been in my office, seen this one. This is one, if you're interested, I can sell it to you for a modest sum. No, Del Carmen makes these, and that's who made the ones that are in my office. So if you like these, you know, you can ask Del about it. But what do you see in here? What is it that you see? Jesus. You see Jesus. That's right. The name of Jesus. Now, my father-in-law, Vern, you know what? I'm just going to set this over here.
No reason we can't focus on that.
He loved and delighted in showing this to people. And he liked talking about it. Vern loved pointing out Jesus to others. He was a man of deep faith, my father-in-law. And he loved Jesus, and it showed in how he lived his life and how he spoke with others. But it was his delight in this plaque that I want us to focus on this fifth Sunday in Epiphany. He enjoyed watching people's face light up when they finally identified the name Jesus in the plaque. That identifying Jesus, that's key, because that's what we talked about last week. That's what's central to understanding what Epiphany is. Jesus used his preaching and his teaching, and he used that to allow people to come to the understanding of who he was. But most people weren't looking for the Son of God when they came to Jesus. They weren't looking to see his name. People were looking for many different things when they came to see Jesus. Now, as Jesus' reputation spread, there grew crowds around him, lots of people with lots of different diseases and ailments. They came to see Jesus, but they were looking for a miracle. And as his miracles increased, then there came the hangers-on, those who were there just for the show. They came to Jesus looking for entertainment. Again, as his fame grew and his powers became the talk of the town, there were lots of people with lots of needs and wants who just kind of followed along in his wake. They were looking to Jesus to fill their bellies with loaves and fishes. In all of these cases, Jesus wanted to give more than what they came to Jesus seeking him out for. He wanted to give them heavenly wholeness. Wholeness and healing, righteousness and restoration and redemption, all through the proclamation of the kingdom of God in himself. They were looking for something to satisfy them here on earth. Jesus was trying to give them and give us the kingdom of heaven. Again, identifying Jesus' true meaning in coming to earth is what the season of Epiphany is all about. It's getting to see who Jesus truly is, what his ministry among us was, and what it is he came to do. Sometimes people see Jesus in the wrong ways, like we've talked about with all the hangers-on and all of the other things. Sometimes people want to put Jesus into boxes where he just won't go. It's like the little boy in Sunday school. I've told you this before. His teacher asks, what's gray? Has a furry tail? Collects nuts for the winter. The little boy answered, I know it sounds like a squirrel, but since this is Sunday school, the answer must be Jesus. People often try to squeeze Jesus into places he just doesn't fit. And then they try and do the same thing with his message of the kingdom of heaven. That message gets turned around and separated from the grace and mercy, the healing and freedom that Jesus came to actually deliver to us. Last week, in the lessons last week. We saw that the demons knew who Jesus was and what his purpose was in coming to earth. And this week, we see Jesus forbidding the demons to talk. The coming of the kingdom of God is not news that should be perverted by the voices of evil, but rather loudly and boldly proclaimed by the chosen one of God and his followers. It's Jesus alone who provides healing and peace, wholeness, life, salvation. Remember my father-in-law with his sign identifying Jesus? Well, Vern reminds me of the in-law in this lesson today. We hear what Jesus did for Simon Peter's mother-in-law. He restored her to health. He gave freely to her renewal and healing. A person who is treated has their symptoms relieved. But being healed is what happens to the whole person. You can be treated without being healed. Jesus gives Peter's mother-in-law healing, as seen by her rising and then going about serving them. Her symptoms weren't merely treated. Her whole person was healed. And this healing, helps us to see who Jesus is. He's the one who delivers what we need, not just what we think we're looking for, like the crowds. Following this particular miracle, we're told that Jesus went the next day very early, went off to a place by himself to pray, and that his followers went and searched for him. Now, as we noted, sometimes people went seeking Jesus so they could get their miracle. They sought the miracles for the sake of the miracle. But miracles are the byproduct. Miracles are the byproduct of the preaching of Jesus. Jesus wants to provide healing by his preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. That was his reply in verse 38 when they found him. "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." He went proclaiming that good news because by his presence on earth, the kingdom of God was now present in this world. His presence is what brings the healing of the kingdom of God. Treatment, again, is limited to symptoms. Healing is health to the whole person. The proclamation of the gospel is delivering the healing that Jesus came to win for all. The gospel is the coming of the kingdom of God in the person of Jesus Christ. And in his dying on the cross and rising to new life again, we receive the perfect healing from our disease. Our disease of sin. Sin, which bound us under its judgment and death, has been healed by us. Has been healed in us, not by us. But has been healed for us, not by us. It has been healed in us by Jesus' wounds alone. And now in him, the kingdom of God has been made ours. That message of the kingdom of God being ours is the gospel. That, as Paul said about in the epistle lesson today, "I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel." Now, one example of how this plays out comes from the British journalist Henry Stanley. He went to Africa one time to interview the famous missionary Dr. David Livingstone, or Livingston. After he'd spent much time with Livingston, Stanley wrote this: "I went to Africa as prejudiced as the biggest atheist in London, but there came for me a long time of reflection. I saw this solitary man there and asked myself, how on earth does he stay here? Is he cracked or what? What is it that inspires him so? For months after we met, I found myself wondering at the old man carrying out what Jesus said in the Bible, 'Leave all things and follow me.' But little by little, his sympathy for others became contagious. My sympathy was aroused. Seeing his piety, his gentleness, his zeal, his earnestness, and how he went about his business, I was converted by him." That's the type of thing that St. Paul says is done for the sake of the gospel. For the sake of the gospel, Dr. Livingston became what was needed for those he served in Africa. And out of that obedience, and out of becoming what they needed, Dr. Livingston became also what the journalist needed in order for him to understand that the gospel, the entrance into the kingdom of heaven, was for him as well. There is no restriction to entering heaven for us because of Jesus' death and resurrection, having opened the way there so that the kingdom of heaven is now open to everyone and to all who will trust in the true healing that comes from the wounds that Jesus took on himself for the world. The kingdom of heaven, which is yours in Jesus Christ, has come to you. It's come to you through your baptism by the power of the Holy Spirit and has made you new. Sometimes we don't feel new, but it's true. You are made new. You are redeemed. You are restored. And the kingdom of God has been restored to you. There is never, never, never a day that goes by that your baptism doesn't remind you of the righteousness of Christ that is yours by the gift of grace through faith. It is new each and every day. And each day it equips you for whatever comes your way. You are healed. You are made totally healthy in Christ and fit for his service. Go back to Peter's mother-in-law for a moment. The word used to describe her actions after rising from her sickbed, when it says she began to serve them. That word serve, in the Greek, it's called a durative imperfect. But the reason why you care about that is that it means she kept on serving. She was restored to health to the point of being able to pursue her daily lifestyle fully and completely. That's what you and I have delivered to us in our baptism and when we partake of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. We have been, it is accomplished, we have been fully and completely restored and made whole, totally healthy. Now, does that mean your body and all of its ailments and diseases here on earth have been treated? Well, no, of course not. We know better. Peter's mother-in-law eventually died, as did my father-in-law. But it does mean that we have what Jesus came to preach about. We have been given the kingdom of God. And that has come to us by grace through faith alone in Christ. You possess, you have, in the words of the Old Testament lesson today, what we're reminded of in the Old Testament lesson today. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. By remembering your baptism, by being refreshed in Holy Communion, by confession and absolution, by reading and taking in God's Word, you possess healing and health. That's what we're all really truly looking for anyway. You have the vigor of an eagle soaring on the wing. Dana and I, some years ago, went on a cruise to Alaska. And while this isn't perhaps necessarily the same bald eagle, we saw a lot of different bald eagles up there. Sitting on the deck one day of the ship, I watched this one eagle just glide along on the currents, the air currents that the ship made. It was glorious to see. And it reminded me, of course, of this verse. And this verse reminds us of what we have, what we possess in Christ. He came to give renewal of strength, to give healing and health, and to give voice to the good news of heaven that has come to earth in Himself. And that's what we do. That's what we do in following Him. Following Him ourselves, as my father-in-law did, as Dr. David Livingston did. We give voice to the same truth. As we delight in people identifying Jesus, we too proclaim aloud that the kingdom of heaven has come. It has come in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus has delivered to us the healing that He came to give, the genuine wholeness that this world is truly looking for. In His name we do pray. Amen. May the words of our mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable in Your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen.